May seem a little strange if you've been with us the last 3 weeks. We've been in this series we've titled Good Grief from the Book of Lamentations. And if you've been with us, you might be wondering what's going on, because we finished the Book of Lamentations. We read those final words. And if you were with us last Sunday, you remember those final words were, restore us, O Lord, unless you're going to be angry with us forever. That's how the writer ends the final poem in the Book of Lamentations. And for him, he was still sitting in that situation, surrounded by constant reminders that his world and his life and the nation of Israel had been flipped upside down. They're no longer living in Jerusalem. They're living in exile, this foreign place. So he ends it with that question. He knows that the Lord is able, but then he still has a bit of doubt, really an honest moment. Unless you're going to be angry with us forever. And so I didn't want us to end there this morning, because we don't have to stay in that place. So we'll kind of try and wrap this up this morning, unless the Lord says to keep going. The question this morning is, what can God actually do with lament? We've talked about lament and what that means, and lament is this heartfelt cry. It's the opening up. It's letting go of what we truly are feeling inside, holding nothing back from God. Lament. It could be grief. It could be sorrow. In this case, the writer of these poems and lamentations, he is lamenting over the sin of the people that led to the destruction and downfall of the nation. So we know this morning, based on where we've been the last 3 weeks and based on the Book of Lamentations, we know this morning that it is okay for us to cry out to God, that we can enter into lament in our own lives. But what does God do? What is God doing in the midst of that time, in the midst of that season we may find ourselves in? Is he just listening? Is he just waiting for our next move? What is God's role in our pain and in our suffering? Does our lament lead us anywhere? Can the dust of our disappointment become something new? Can God once again breathe his life into us or into a situation that is tearing us apart? Is God able? We sing the song, He is able, more than able. Is it true this morning? Can God turn our mourning into gladness? Listen, God can restore. He is the one that brings hope. Not only can he restore, and not only does he bring hope, but he sees us and he knows us. Before we ever cry out to him, he already knows the pain in our hearts. He knows everything we are, everything we've done, but he also knows everything we hope to be. So is God truly able to reach into those low places? Does he really want to bring restoration into our lives and into our families and into our churches? Or does God want us to remain broken? See, a lot of people choose to blame God for the problems they face in life, as if somehow God is the one who made them make their choices. Or that somehow God is the one to blame for the choices of other people that have negatively impacted our own lives or our own families. Yet, as we've already seen in the Book of Lamentations, there is this reality of sin. And the reality is that sin breaks God's heart. But even last Sunday, we saw through the example of Jesus and his friend Lazarus, we see most perfectly through Jesus that God is moved. He is compassionate. He experiences what we experience. He is not removed from our lives or our situations or our troubles or our pain and our struggle. He is with us. So God isn't to blame. And yet he does give us instruction and warning as his people. He is the one who makes the way for us to move forward. But for those who are sitting in the midst of lament, and if that's you, if these last few weeks have been speaking into your heart, and if you feel you're in the midst of this season when you don't know, you don't have the answers, and all you can do is cry out to God, let me tell you this morning that God is not removed. God's word for you this morning is comfort. We see in Isaiah 51 that God brings us comfort. He brings encouragement to those that know him, those who follow his commands. But the Lord also brings comfort even in the midst of darkness. So I want us to look this morning at Isaiah chapter 51. Words will be on the screen for you as well, but Isaiah 51. Beginning in the first verse, the writer says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man. And I blessed him, and I made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing." For those of you who are praying for a loved one, the word says, surely those deserts will become full of life like Eden, those wastelands like beautiful gardens. Joy and gladness will come from the Lord. Verse 4 says, "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. My arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And God is speaking. God is speaking through Isaiah to his people, but God is speaking to us this morning. So Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see this morning, Lord. These words that we've just heard seek to break open an unimaginable future. You have to understand the position and the place that they were in. We've looked at Lamentations, and you know the heartache and the anguish. But these words that God inspired, these words that God spoke, seek to break open what seemed impossible. And yet, God promised it. So even in the most challenging and painful moments, we can trust God. We don't stand on our own understanding, but on his promises. So here, in just a few words, the expectations are reversed. What they thought would never happen, God is saying, "I am going to do it, and I am already doing it. My salvation is on the way." What seems so far away was actually already found in God himself. So their hope as a people wasn't going to be in returning back to how it used to be. They were struggling with that, right? That wasn't the answer. The answer wasn't to go back to how things used to be. The answer is found in God himself. So life life was going to change for them. Those times of great sorrow and lament won't last forever, for God is faithful. His love endures forever. It's more than words or songs that we sing. It's God's very promise to his people this morning. These chapters in Isaiah, chapters 40 to 55, are addressed to those who are in trouble. In these chapters, he's telling the exiles where they can find the strength they need. And here this morning, if you need strength, the answer is found in these words for us. If you need the strength to keep moving forward, listen to the words of the Lord. So many people want to know what's next. They want to know what steps to take. And God tells us he is giving us instruction. So where do we turn? Where do we go? What do we do when trouble comes and we're overwhelmed? Who are you going to call? I'm too young for that. The Lord says, listen to me, all you who hope for deliverance, all you who seek the Lord. God is speaking. Can you hear him this morning? Isaiah says, think about who you are. Think about where you've come from. Think about Abraham and Sarah. God blessed Abram and told him he would be the father of a great nation, that many people would come from him. And the reality for Abraham and Sarah was that Sarah was barren. It was impossible. And yet God promised it. Isaiah is reminding them of their heritage, of the history. But more than that, he is reminding them of God's faithfulness. God was able to promise something to Abram and Sarah. And as a result, everything came as God promised. He was but one man, but it was God's word spoken in truth. It was God's blessing on him. This same God will come to you in your distress, in your time of need. The Lord will comfort Israel again. He will look with compassion on her ruins. And here, you thought God was mad over what had happened, but the Lord will look on you with compassion. He will have pity. And some of us get to this place where we feel like God has walked away from our life or from our loved one. He sees us. He knows our pain. He is moved. He is filled with compassion. Comfort was the word for the initial hearers of this word, but it is the word for us this morning. Those who are suffering, who feel separated from God, comfort. We remember those words from Lamentations 5. Have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us? Restore us, Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. You want to be restored this morning. You want your life changed, then seek the Lord. Pursue righteousness. Even in the midst of the pain, sorrow, disappointment, the word is to seek the Lord. Pursue him. Even when you don't see him, pursue him. That's what faithful people do. And that's what a faithful God does. Not only are we called to pursue him, but he pursues us. He seeks after us, those who are lost. He leaves behind the 99 for the one who is lost. But this comfort is not just for those who are seeking him and pursuing him. This comfort is also for those who have already quit and given up. This comfort is also for those who feel hopeless. It is for those who have walked away from him. And it is for those who have not yet realized the state of their condition. This is why the word was spoken to the people. So this morning, as his people, we receive his word. We respond to his word by fanning the flames of hope. We receive this word by standing next to those who are hurting. We receive this word by interceding for those who have walked away from the Lord, understanding that he brings comfort. So this morning, are we going to be faithful as his people? As the body of Christ, are we going to be faithful? Are we going to consistently care for those who have walked away? Are we consistently caring for those who are hurting and broken? And are we going to persistently pray for those who need our prayers? These words call us to action. They're full of life. The words are listen, look, look, listen, lift up and look. In each case, these actions lead us to good news. The writer wants to convey hope. It's not some abstract thing. It's the reality that is found in God. So whatever's happened in the past, it's over. It's a new day. You remember Lamentations 3, his mercies are new every morning. It is a new day in the Lord. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Can you declare those words even in the midst of the struggle? Joy and gladness will be found in the Lord. So let's listen to his word, his instruction. And this is what God does. He brings righteousness. He brings his justice, and he brings his mercy. Listen, if he just brought justice, none of us could stand. But he brings his justice, and he brings his mercy. And now all of us are able to stand before the Lord and give an account. And those who believe in the name of Jesus will be saved. So he brings his justice and his mercy, but he also brings salvation. It is on the way. If I don't say anything else this morning, some of you need to hear that this morning. Salvation is on the way. He has promised it. He brings hope to the hopeless. This is more than a pep talk. This is the word for those who are broken. This is the word for those who feel like they've lost it all. God is the one who brings comfort to the broken. Isaiah 51:12 says, the Lord is the one who brings comfort. Friends, God is committed to his people. Not just once upon a time in the exile, but forever. Never to be ended for all generations. God is committed to his people. Joy and gladness, thanksgiving and song will break out. Restoration and renewal from the Lord. A return to Eden, to fruitfulness, to God's intention, to the beauty, the garden of creation. So what do we do now? What do we do? As his people, we're called to listen. Listen to me, my people. This is how the Lord has chosen to begin this portion. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. Listen to me, my people. Instruction will go out from me. You want to know what to do? You're looking for answers? God is giving us his word. And it will be like a light to the nations. And this is so important for us this morning. This word originally proclaimed to God's very own people. But it's not just for God's people. It would be a light to the nations. because of his faithfulness, it's so far beyond just where they started with Abram and Sarai, right? Abraham and Sarah, so much farther beyond that place. It's for all of us. It's for those who have yet to hear the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's bigger than we could have imagined. And all of us this morning are encompassed in what God proclaimed through Isaiah. Future generations are included in this promise. I'm so thankful in our Sunday school class this morning of being reminded of God's faithfulness from generation to generation. What an opportunity we have this morning to not only pray for our children and grandchildren, but to pray for the generations that will never know. Because God's salvation is on the way, and he is faithful this morning. Mercy and justice are coming. You think someone's too far gone? That's not what God says. Salvation is on the way. His salvation will last forever. His righteousness will not fail. So we listen to the Lord, and we comfort those who need comforted. We don't turn away. We don't walk away. Instead, let's trust that God is already present. Let's trust in his prevenient grace that every situation, we can trust that God is already at work. Not only does he know about it, but God is going before you. He is already at work in that situation, in the life of that person that you love, that you're praying for, that you're caring for. God is already present. So let us commit ourselves to being present. Let us commit ourselves to entering into the work that God is already doing. Let's partner with him as we're filled with his Holy Spirit. Let's allow God to lead us into those broken places. Let's allow God to give us the words that need to be spoken into the darkness, because his light casts out all darkness, and he does not fail. So we must remain consistent and persistent, consistent in our care. I love what Paul writes in his second letter to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, hear these words. Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort." It's by no accident that God brings us into his family. He never intended for any of us to walk alone. Instead, he has led us to become a part of the family of God. He has given us the people of God that we can come and join with, fellowship with. But it's so much more than just fellowship and coming to a service. It's consistently walking with one another, not turning away, but faithfully praying and interceding, standing in the gap and lifting up those who can no longer stand on their own, because we are the family of God. We are his people this morning. The more we suffer, the more Christ is with us. The more we suffer, the more Christ is with us. And if Christ is within each one of you, does it not make sense that we need to gather around one another and pray and encourage one another, because Christ is within us so that we may comfort others? But we must also remain persistent in prayer. I love the story that Jesus tells. It's the parable of the persistent widow. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 18th chapter, Jesus tells his disciples this story. to show them, to teach them that they should always pray and not give up. So this is what Jesus says in Luke 18, verse 2. He says, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice. Give me justice against my adversary.' Now for some time the judge, he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she keeps bugging me, she won't stop bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, where the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, and he's telling us again, reminding us again this morning, that we are to call out, we are to cry out to the Lord, calling on his name. Not to give up, but to be like this annoying, persistent widow. Going before the Lord, day after day, moment after moment. Not holding it all in within us and allowing it to destroy us, but surrendering all of it at the feet of our Lord. Will he not come quickly? His salvation is on the way. Surely God will come, bringing righteousness and justice. So let us remain persistent in prayer. I once had my former pastor of mine tell the story of his son. And I called him again a couple weeks ago because I wanted to hear him share the story again. This pastor friend of mine was serving the Lord and faithful in ministry, and yet his teenage son began to slowly kind of walk away from the Lord. And he didn't stop. He kept going and going farther and farther away from the Lord and deeper into sin. And you can imagine the distress that any of us would have. You can imagine the situation that the pastor would be in, struggling over seeing his teenage son so far from what God had called, what God had intended. So this pastor and his wife committed themselves to praying and fasting 2 days a week to see their son return, to break loose the chains of sin that had so tightly wound around their son's life. 2 days a week, fasting and praying. This went on for weeks. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. And at the end of 2 years, their son returned, repented of all of his sin, and was radically transformed by the goodness of our Lord. So as I hear that story, I'm reminded once again of the power of God. And yet he's called each one of us as his people to trust him so deeply that we're willing to step outside of anything we've ever done before, willing to lay aside our normal routine, willing to dedicate ourselves to fasting and praying so that one person, so that one life, so that one child would come home. So as his people this morning, this is where we are. Called to love one another, to come alongside, to care for one another, but also called as his people to pray for those who have wandered, to pray for those who have yet to hear the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that through Jesus there is new life. So I can think of no better way of finishing up this series, these teachings, this word. I can think of no better way than dedicating ourselves as the family of God, committing ourselves to pray, to persevering in prayer, committing ourselves that we're not going to quit, give up. And when moments of discouragement come into our lives, may we surround ourselves with Christ. May the body of Christ surround us and lift us up before Him. So I'd like for us to close that way, and how you respond is up to you, but some of us, are praying for family members. Sons and daughters, or parents or brothers and sisters. Some of us are praying for our very own families. Some of you are praying for neighbors and coworkers and friends. But I'd like for us to commit this morning once again. His mercies are new this morning. I'd like for us to commit once again in prayer. And if you want to come forward, kneel at one of these altars, committing yourself with a physical action, saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm taking this step to remain faithful and committed to praying for this person." I'm going to invite you to come forward. Come forward and pray for that person and trust that God is already at work in that person's life. His salvation is on the way. His strong arm is already reaching out for them. But let us not give up in praying. So if you want to come this morning, I invite you to come. Come to the altar and pray in that way. But let us dedicate ourselves this morning. Yes, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, this morning I know that you've given us your word for such a time as this. Lord, I know it's by no accident that you've led us to these poems and lamentations. Father, this morning so many of us are praying for loved ones. And many people, Father, have come forward and they have been praying day after day, week after week, year after year. Father, this morning I pray for fresh encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Encourage our hearts this morning. Remind us of your faithfulness. Remind us of your goodness. Remind us of your mercy, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Lord, even when we don't know how it's going to happen or where it's going to come from, we know it's from you, Lord. We trust in your salvation, Lord. We trust in your timing, your prevenient grace, Lord. But Father, I pray this morning you would hear our hungry hearts, that you would hear the cry of your sons and daughters as they are crying out for their loved ones, Lord, that you would break loose those chains, that those who are walking in darkness would be transformed by the very light of Christ, that hearts and lives would be purified, changed, restored, and made new, Lord, for your glory, Lord, for your glory. So, Father, this morning, forgive us for those moments and those times when we thought it was impossible. Forgive us of those times, Lord, where we've given up. Father, I pray for your comfort. Lord, that you would comfort these friends, that you would comfort these parents, these grandparents, Lord. Bring your comfort, Lord. Bring your peace, even in this moment, Lord. Let us focus on you, the truth of who you are. Let us focus on the great gift, the gift of new life that is only found through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, work like only you can, Lord Jesus. Bring freedom, bring peace and restoration, Lord. Set those hearts and lives free, Father, forevermore for your glory and your kingdom, Lord. And encourage us, Lord, in this work that you've called us to, Lord. Encourage us, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord. And Father, this morning I want to close by praying for this week. Because, Lord, we know we have an enemy that comes against us. We have an enemy that seeks to harm us, to steal away our joy. So, Father, this week, I pray that you would help us. That when those moments of doubt come, when those questions come, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and remind us of your faithfulness. Remind us of the places that we've come from, but remind us that you are present, and that your salvation is on the way, and that you are able. Remind us, Lord. Remind us. Find us faithful, Jesus. Father, we praise you in advance. We praise you in advance for the testimonies of lives changed. We give you thanks, Father, for what you're already doing. May it be for your glory this morning. May it be for your glory. We ask and we pray this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.